Hey, it's the Sparky Fiverr, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After each and every Milwaukee Bucks game, get yourself a free Frosty, chocolate, or vanilla at participating Wisconsin Wendy's within 24 hours after said Bucks victory. Joining me now, he is the sports director at CBS 58, Crunchy Kevin Holden. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin. We're going to talk Brewers. We're going to talk Packers. During this interview, we'll start off with the Green Bay Packers. Kevin Holden, are we at the point yet to where if you were the Green Bay Packers, you would be getting frustrated and thinking about walking away if you can't get a deal done?
Oh, man, that's crazy, because in the bubble, in the idea of just the deal itself, yeah, I would be at that point. But the thing is, I would have to sit down and remember what I'm walking back into if it doesn't come to fruition, if they just walk away from it. Then you're sitting with 12 for another year under center, which you spent a lot of great years with Aaron Rodgers. You did, and the off seasons were increasingly a slog. They were increasingly difficult to deal with. Now you'd have to come back and try to piece all of this back together. You've got Jordan Love out in California working with the receivers, and with Aaron Jones, and I think there's enough of this that's ready to move on. Enough of the franchise that's ready to move on that it might be time to just stick it out and figure it out, even if you're frustrated.
The other thing about this, when we talk about the situation with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, is the report now that Jordan Love is working out with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Aaron Jones this offseason before they even get to OTAs and trying to build that type of bond. Do you think this is a Jordan Love thing, or do you think this is a Packers mandated thing?
I think it's a Jordan Love thing, and I think part of it has to do with the fact that he's been quiet and professional and just not part of this madness over the last couple of years at all. And I think that the thing that Jordan Love has probably been ready to do that entire time is to lead. And that's something that he physically could not do with Rodgers there. And that makes sense. He's the backup. There's only so much you can do in that position when you've got a legend ahead of you. But I mean, Jordan Love's been ready, and he's spent 3 years, I think, waiting for the opportunity. So I think Love can't wait to get going with these guys. And I think, the Packers are excited, I'm sure, to see what kind of leadership qualities he'll bring to the table, how different that part of him will be as the starter. But I think Jordan Love's ready to go. I think he's been ready for about 2 years.
With the draft coming up next month, knowing that the Packers are at least going to have their own pick, maybe they don't have the Jets pick in the first round, but they'll at least have their own pick going forward. Are you leaning towards one position or one side of the ball with that 15th pick in the first round for the Packers?
There's a part of me that would really love to see them do, if that kind of player was there that could really help alter things on offense to give Jordan Love another weapon, I would actually be okay with it. You've already got Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, who are still only entering their second year, who are still young in NFL terms, but ready to develop. And what the Packers did with Watson in that year one was pretty impressive. The fact that they just kept pounding that ball his way and eventually helped him turn the corner during his rookie year, and you didn't have to wait for the third year to do it. If they could do that again with another receiver, I think you've got a chance to build something that that can get aerial and do so pretty effectively. So, I mean, it would have to be there. I wouldn't want to reach too much for it, but an impact receiver there would be all right with me.
Talking with Kevin Holden, CBS 58. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin. Real nice and simple. I want to also ask you about Mark Murphy, who continues to talk. Latest coming at some type of tech deal that he was speaking at, tech convention or something. And said he was sworn to secrecy, that he can't say anything more about Aaron Rodgers in the Jets deal. And within saying it, if you've heard the audio, he is kind of laughing and sounds carefree, Kevin. Sounds like the weight of the world has finally been lifted off of his shoulders now that he can move on from Aaron Rodgers. Does it feel that way to you? Kind of like it's almost like, thank God it's finally over? Because that's kind of what it feels like to me when you hear him talk about this.
Question. I think I think maybe the one human being, well, maybe the number two human being in that position of just wiping the brow and saying, oh, thank goodness, that nightmare's over, is Murphy. I think Matt LaFleur might be one on the list. I think LaFleur obviously benefits more directly from what Rodgers is on the field, so that helps. But what this has developed into the last couple of seasons off the field has got to be just exhausting. I mean, Mark Murphy popped in at halftime of a girls' basketball game that had a live broadcast because it was across the street. And if I mean, you know, Sparky, you've been dealing with the Packers as long as I have. It is not exactly a common thing for a Packers dignitary, someone to be just popping in and right. then on the a live broadcast during a situation like this. Like, I've talked to Mark Murphy in situations away from the season before, and he's always been gracious, always been terrific with us. But if a Rodgers thing was going on, I wouldn't expect him to talk to me. The fact that he did in that broadcast and the fact that he said what he said in that most recent audio is, to me, it's just proof. I think he's been through just you know what with Rodgers in these last couple off seasons, and I think he's ready, man. I think Mark Murphy's, you know, he's going to be going into the sunset in a couple of years, and he's happy that particular chapter's done.
As happy as Murphy is to be having Rodgers gone, I wonder if Corbin Burnes is going to be just as happy leaving the Milwaukee Brewers. After what happened in arbitration, and now comes word from John Heyman of MLB Network that Corbin Burnes has moved on to Scott Boras to be his agent going forward. I put it on social media. Because I don't think anybody expects him now to be a Brewer long-term other than the next 2 years. What would be the difference in moving from Corbin Burnes now at the beginning of the season versus waiting to the deadline or waiting to next offseason to move on from Corbin Burnes? I would think Corbin Burnes would bring you back even a bigger package now than if you waited to halfway through the season. And immediately I got, well, you know, if they're contenders. Well, but they were contenders last year, and they moved on from Josh Hader. That didn't stop them from moving on. And yes, Hader was struggling, no question about it. But they clearly didn't think that they had the pieces to get that thing done. They were just trying to figure that if they got in the playoffs, that'd be good enough. Fans would be happy and move forward. This Corbin Burnes thing here with Wade Miley, and as long as Hauser is Hauser, you have your starting five. Your five rotation is set if you move on from Burnes now. Your thoughts on how the Brewers should handle Corbin Burnes?
Yeah, man, that Boras thing puts this in a completely different light. At the beginning of spring training, I think the Brewers and their fans were very sympathetic with, you know, who Burnes was and what his situation was. You know, a homegrown product, a guy that developed into a Cy Young Award winner, a rare guy, maybe a guy that you could figure out a way to keep. And now he signed Boras, which is on the one end, you've got the guy who gets the maximum dollar in all situations for his client. And on this end, you've got the team that's paying the minimum dollar, literally in the Burnes case, to their guys. It's splitting. Like, it's done. Like, there isn't, you know, in the beginning of the spring, you think, well, maybe, you know, they can make up and he'll come out and he'll be fine and, you know, whatever. And yeah, maybe he'll be a good pitcher for him this year. But the idea of anything long term between Burnes and the team is absolutely dead with the signing of his signing on with Boras Corp. So it is, yeah, it's done. And if there was a chance and you could get maximum value, it would hurt like crazy. And obviously it would make the Brewers worse in the short term, I would think. But long term, I think it's something you got to consider at this point.
What are you most optimistic about with this Brewers team this season?
Brandon Woodruff, because everybody is focused on, you know, Burnes in the future and that kind of thing. And I'm watching Brandon Woodruff throw changeups in spring training. Like, Woodruff has been an ace, but he just hasn't been the ace because Burnes is there. And I think Woodruff is the guy that might come out as the good guy in all this. Maybe if they can scrape up the money for one of these long-term deals, maybe he's the guy. I think, you know, the pitching is still going to be in pretty good shape. I know Peralta got hit around a little yesterday, but, you know, I still feel like it's Woodruff and Peralta. If you have Burnes for the year, obviously that's fantastic. The back-end stuff is good. Aaron Ashby's going to come back from injury. I'm optimistic that this Brewers team is going to continue to buck the franchise trend of having poor pitching. I think they're going to win games this year with pitching the same way they did last year.
I do not trust in any way, shape, or form the bullpen. Not in the very least at all, no. You have Devin Williams and then questions, and big questions at this. Everybody's trying to sell me on Bush being that eighth inning guy. Okay, we'll see. Tim Dillard, who we just interviewed again, it's on 1250amthefan.com. When I talked to him, I think it was last month, he had brought up Ashby being a perfect fit for that eighth inning if he wasn't going to be in the rotation, and then he went on to get hurt after we had that interview. So that wipes Ashby out, at least for the beginning of the season. And the rest of that bullpen, guys that throw hard, but guys that have question marks, and I'm nervous about that bullpen, Kevin.
Yeah, it does not line up terribly well behind Devin Williams. I mean, you can pencil in names. Like, you can write in, you know, you got Matt Bush, you got Hobie Milner, and you've got
Hobie
that
Milner. Think about that. Hobie freaking Milner is the guy that we're going to stake our bullpen to. Holy crap. Let's hope not. Oh my God.
Just thinking that Hobie Milner flagged in the ground, man. Just love it.
Go on. I'm sorry. Just go on.
That's a guy with a 4.31 career ERA. I love it. I mean, that does say a lot, doesn't it? That when you're talking about sure things, he's the second name out of my mouth behind Bush, and then obviously Devin Williams, so the third, I guess. It's interesting because I think if the Brewers' rotation at the top shaped up really well, that they could do something similar to what they did in 2018. You remember 18, they had, the starters didn't go as long. That's not the similar thing, but they had young Burns and young Woodruff throwing all those innings in middle relief. And Ashby, to me, is actually a guy who could fill that role that a Burns or a Woodruff of 2018 did, where if a starter flames out in the second or third inning, it's Aaron Ashby for four innings, in the middle. And he can throw you important innings in games that could fall apart. Like, Ashby to me is maybe one of the more important pieces in how this thing shapes up. But if you don't have him, then yeah, man, you are throwing a lot of, like, we were down there in spring training shooting video, and I was with a new photographer. He knows baseball, but he was new to the trip. And he said, who are these guys? Like, he kept pointing at, like, at 12, and I said, that's Javi Guerra. And he kind of looked at me like, I'm sorry, is it 2014?
Right.
Now? Is that mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see how this thing will shape up, because yeah, there's a lot of arms and a lot of uncertain spots.
Which of the young players, of those young outfielders, because were you down there when Churio played in that game or no? Were you down there that week?
Now, we were back by then. Man, I wish I was there, though.
Right. So, I mean, Joey Weimer, Sal Frelick, obviously had some good stuff going on in the World Baseball Classic. Garrett Mitchell, who got dinged up, and now he's back. Jackson Churio as well, and he's going to be 19. I think there's a chance he's up by the end of the year. Maybe it's September. I don't know. But I think by the end of the year, Jackson Churio is up here. And Weimer and Frelick, I would have to think both of those guys are up here throughout the course of the year. Of those guys, did anybody stick out to you?
Just from what we saw in the days, we were there before the game started. So Weimer was the guy we saw taking cuts with some of the bigger major league guys. Like, he was in there, that rotation in batting practice, and he was holding his own.
Who was?
Joey Weimer.
Oh, Weimer. Okay.
Yeah. So that's a guy we talk a lot about Mitchell, we talk a lot about Churio and these other guys, but that's a guy that might step in, as the sort of an unexpected performer, a guy that could contribute pretty fast. I mean, this group that they have, and of course Bryce Terang, I guess, falls into that group somehow too.
He's not at their level, though, I don't think. I think he's another tier down. He might end up being just a utility player.
He's a guy that I think if it was like 3 years ago, if he's 3 years younger, there might be more upside. But there's it's a different thing. But he's 23. I mean, there's so
yeah, it's true.
It's such a young group, and it's there's a little hint. And man, I hate to even like call this into the universe, but isn't there a little hint of like 2005? A little hint of that group that came in together, the Weeks and Harts and Fielders, you remember that, mm-hmm. that group, the all offensive guys that they just retooled everything at once. Like, I wonder if this is why the dollars have been saved, is because they know this group is coming, they know it's special, and they want to keep that group. That's where the focus is. Maybe, I don't know.
I think it's absolutely 100% correct. I've talked about that group to this group, and if you just look at it, Churio, I think, will be a better version of Braun. And hopefully one that doesn't cheat. And then you talk about Joey Weimer versus Corey Hart. Joey Weimer, probably a more athletic version of Corey Hart. Both have huge arms. Both can hit. Both have power with the bat. And then Frelick and Ricky Weeks, I was always under the assumption he was going to be in the outfield. But yesterday, talking with a buddy of mine, we're going back and forth about where is he going to play? Can he play in the infield? And he's like, oh, he's played second. And then I saw a video, and they're talking about Sal looked good at third, or solid at third. So maybe Sal Frelick ends up being somewhere on the infield long term and not in the outfield. And if Garrett Mitchell plays well enough, because I always thought he was the fourth of those outfielders we talk about, maybe that outfield is Churio, Mitchell, and Weimer, and then Sal Frelick is at second base or third base or something, and your leadoff hitter going forward.
Man, and the interesting thing about it is all of those guys are filling all of these spots up, and you're starting to see a lineup that doesn't at all include Christian Yelich, you know?
Oh, he'll be DH.
Find some spot, right? Like where he doesn't have to. Well, and that might help, you know, since his back has been an issue and he had the knee injury and whatever, that maybe that's the thing that gets him closer to on track. Maybe taking him out of the field at this stage is not the worst idea. I mean, it's not bad. It would keep him there at least.
In my dream, and nobody agrees with me, and I don't care, it's my dream. Corbin Burns gets moved to St. Louis. I get Jordan Walker. Jordan Walker is my third baseman. Sal Frelick can play second base if that's going to be how this is going to go going forward. Figure out shortstop and first base because I doubt they'll be able to sign Willie Adames either. Maybe Rowdy Tellez stays on longer and stays here. Contreras remains at catcher with the outfield we talked about. That could be a pretty fun, exciting team because Walker can run too. You're talking about a team with all those young guys that can just get out and run. Stolen bases are going to be way up with this Brewers team compared to years past. I think fans are going to love it.
Yeah, and Mitchell was kind of the beginning of that era for me. Like to watch him just sprint out of the box and the hustle that he has and the speed that he brings to the table. Like Mitchell's kind of the first hint of that new era coming to Milwaukee, and he's exciting. I mean, I know he had the little setback here in spring training, but I'm pumped to see what a full season does for him in the big leagues. I think he'll be pretty good.
All right, he is Kevin Holden, CBS 58 Sports Director. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin. Always a pleasure to have Mr. Kevin Holden on. Kevin, thanks so much, my friend.
Sparky, always glad to do it, man. Always glad to have some fun.